Hello and welcome to an extra special bonus episode of the Car Fiction Footlock podcast. My name is Drew Stern, and instead of being joined in the studio by Henry Catchpole, this episode comes to you from Portugal, where he recently was to film with the Porsche Macan GTS and the new 718 GTS, but also got to spend some time with Jörg Burgmeister, 2 times winner at Le Mans, 2 times winner of the Daytona 24 Hours, and winner at the 24 Hours of Spa, to name but a few of the awards he has collected over the years. Jörg has raced Porsches for over 25 years and has some great insight into the world of being a racing driver. We cover his entire career, including the single-seaters where he started, and crucially, why he had to quit. Also, he had just taken part in ski jouring. If you'd listened to episode 29 of the Footlock podcast, you'll remember what that is, towing a skier behind a racing car on a snow racetrack. They go into that a little bit more. But for now, it's over to Henry and Jörg in this extra special episode of Footlock.
Right, welcome to a Carfection podcast, otherwise known as For the Love of Cars or Footlock. I am Henry Catchpole, and with me today is not Drew Stern, but Jörg Burgmeister. Thank you very much for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, we're trying to do a few more podcasts this year, and I thought it'd be great to just interview about a few things. Principally, last podcast we did, we talked about the GP ice race, and you were there with none other than Axel Lund Svindal, I saw from your Instagram account. What was that like?
It was a really cool event. Actually, it was the first time I got to drive on ice, so double responsibility, first keeping the 84 Dakar car in one piece, plus Axel behind me, because we were doing ski jouring, so I was pulling him. But in general, amazing event. I really enjoyed going there.
And I mean, Axel's a bit of a hero of mine. For anyone that doesn't know, he's just a legendary alpine skier. He retired last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, a year ago.
And what was he like?
Really relaxed. He had a lot of fun as well. Got to drive a bit himself in the Speedster, and really nice guy. Lots of fun to hang out with.
And what was the car like?
Well, obviously, I was surprised. Obviously, the car was designed to be driven in the desert, and then to bring it on ice. We had spikes on the car, but it was really cool, and the traction was really impressive. And some little drifts, obviously, I couldn't push too hard with him behind me. But no, really, really cool.
And is there any technique for ski jouring? Sort of this? I mean, it seems utterly insane from watching outside.
Yeah, I think the most impressive guy out there was Richie Leeds, because he just told his skier, "I don't care, I just push." And they were the quickest. Axel and I didn't go for a lap time, and what I told Axel is I just be very careful on the brakes, because obviously the rope is fairly short, and if you just hammer the brakes with a reaction time, I didn't want him in the back of the car, so therefore we took it fairly easy and just on power, had some nice little slides, and that's about it.
Excellent. Now let's sort of go back to beginning. Your career has obviously been dominated by Porsche, I think it's fair to say, and sports cars really, but you started in single seaters.
Yeah, long time ago. I started in Formula König in 92, I believe. Won the championship in 93, and then went to Formula Renault for a couple of races, Formula Opel. But then got too tall.
Well, this is what I was going to say, because you are 6'4". We're about the same height, aren't we?
Yeah.
So how did you get on with? Did you sort of were you shorter at that point when you were doing?
No, Formula Opel. I was already 6'4" and just didn't have a seat. Just some padding on the side. Was sitting on the aluminum and was still okay. But then the next step would have been in Formula 3000, and I just couldn't fit. So therefore, the logical step was to try something with a roof on over my head, and luckily won the shootout by the Porsche Center Koblenz for a junior spot in 95. Was a shootout, and 96 was the first season in Carrera Cup, and from there on more or less stayed with the brand. Actually, my first race was in 94 even, but just a single race when I was 18 years old, so 25 years with the brand.
And I suppose what would be really interesting to know is, because Porsche 911s, particularly as race cars, have this reputation of being sort of unlike anything else to drive. You really have to become a 911 specialist to get the best out of them. You see it when people drop into Super Cup or Carrera Cup or something like that, sort of as a guest drive, and it's really difficult to get control of the car. Do you have any sort of insight into that? How do you get the best out of a racing 911?
I think that was more the case in the past when the cars were, I would say, somewhat tricky to drive. The newer generation cars, if it's the new Cup car or the GT3R or even the RSR, are actually, I'd say, fairly easy to drive. But yeah, in the past, it definitely took you a season pretty much to be really up top and running with the front guys. In the newer cars, I think it's a much quicker learning curve. But in general, yeah, tray braking is one of the key things to load the front on the turn, and having a really short rolling phase. That's at least what I'm doing. So off the brake, straight on the power, lock the diff and go again.
And over the years, you've won the class in Le Mans. Are there any races that stand out for you, that particular favourites from your wins or not wins, maybe?
Well, not wins is one easy to pick. Was a GT3R hybrid at the Nürburgring when we were leading overall until 1:45 to go, and unfortunately a valve spring went away and we lost the engine. That one was particularly hard because the development program of that car was really deeply involved and was kind of my baby. And then having such a strong race and close before the end to not finish and go out was kind of a heartbreaker. No, in general, it's been lots of success, luckily. But I always said, doesn't matter what happened in the past, only the future matters, so got to keep on pushing.
That hybrid was a really interesting car, wasn't it? Because hybrid system sat in the passenger seat next to the driver, is that right?
Exactly. It sounded a bit like a vacuum. I think it was spinning at 40,000 RPM. It was a KERS system, originally developed by Williams, and was cool, especially on the Nordschleife, because usually it's really hard to pass there when you're in traffic with other GT3 cars, and with the extra boost you could just go next to them and say thanks.
What a cool car. And I suppose any particular favorite tracks as well?
Favorite tracks, Nordschleife. When you're driving by yourself in traffic, it's a little crazy at times. Other than that, Road America, so Elkhart Lake, and Suzuka. Those are my three favorite. Yeah. I like the quicker flowing ones.
And we're on Portugal at Estoril, and it's I think the first time we met was, in fact, on the 991 GT3 RS, the first generation.
Bilsterberg.
Yeah. Yes, and you set a lap time. As it turned out, it was a production car lap record in the ultraviolet car round. We put cameras in. So yesterday, in fact, I asked you the same with a slightly slower car, probably
a little bit.
The new Cayman GTS, and it was quite wet.
It was. Unfortunately, so, yes.
So could you just describe for us what it was like and what the track's like here at Estoril?
Well, Estoril is one of the classic tracks. Always enjoyed racing here, and it's fun to come back and get to play a bit with a new cars. Unfortunately, the grip level in the wet is not too high, so it was a little tricky, but still fun.
Are there any tips for people who might be, I don't know, perhaps they're going to get a GTS and they're going to drive it in a wet track day? How do you like to get the most out of the car in the wet?
How do you get the most of it? Start slowly and don't crash. No, in general, if you keep the systems active, the car is actually pretty easy to drive. When you deactivate everything, obviously, then you can go a bit over the limit at times and do some nice slides.
And you used quite a lot of engine braking.
Yes.
Sort of particularly down that sort of the back straight.
It's usually what I do in the rain, especially to really lock the diff in the rear and stabilize the car with that.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I read, which I didn't know about you, but I read on Wikipedia, was that your Michael Schumacher,
yes,
worked in your father's workshop when he was younger. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, was quite good for my brother and myself, because on Mondays when the go-kart track in Curtin was closed, we went there to test, and he taught us all the go-karting tricks. So
really?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Was a good teacher.
Absolutely. It's do you have any particular sort of memories of
that's actually a good one. We had a the truck we went to testing with on the way home. We have like a nice Autobahn exit. I was sitting in the back in the go-kart, and he managed to spin it. So he was a bit nervous that we would tell our dad. But yeah, it was all good. Nothing damaged. That's a good memory, yeah.
That's amazing. And actually, that brings back talking about karting, because you were yesterday actually going back to it in the rain, and you were obviously taking the wet line, the karting line, some would say, sort of around some of the corners. Just explained, because I've always found this fascinating, something I've never really, I haven't spent enough time on tracks to really sort of get grips with it, but just explain for people what that is.
So normally the normal racing line, obviously you have a lot more rubber, and the asphalt is maybe a bit more polished, so you just try different lines and see if the grip level is higher, which is usually a longer way around the, not hitting the apex but going wide, and then cutting back across the racing line and staying offline, basically, just to see if you can find some more grip.
Mm. And the tricky thing with that is working out where to cut back across the racing line.
Exactly.
Because obviously you've got
because
that
on that little patch where the rubber is laid down, the grip goes down again. Yes, it depends on the track. Some tracks you can really find a lot of time doing that. On others, it's not an advantage, and you just stay online even in the rain.
Yeah. Are there any tracks, as you say, which particularly spring to mind where it's...
I think here in Estoril it will definitely be quicker to go offline. Nordschleife is pretty similar. I don't know. It honestly, it depends also on the water level and what tires you have and stuff like that. So I wouldn't say that you can always say it's always quicker to offline at a certain track. You just have to adapt and try, keep on trying.
Yeah absolutely. And as you're saying, it's all about the future. What about the future? What's next?
Well, a little. My perspective changed a bit. I got the offer to become a brand ambassador for Porsche and help develop the new street cars. So really looking forward to that, and maybe do a couple of races, but more for fun and not as a main focus anymore. So new part of my life, but really excited about it.
Absolutely. Have you done much sort of road car development in the
not
past?
So far. I've been at a couple of tests now, but that will increase now.
Have you always liked road cars as well as racing cars? Because it's not always the case, you know. Some racing drivers
With Porsche, the nice thing is the road cars are like racing cars, right? No, and what I've always liked in racing is a development, new ideas, trying to put them on the cars and work around the limitations that you have from regulations. Obviously, on road cars, you have a lot less regulations.
Yes.
Therefore, a lot of ideas, and hopefully can help put them in the cars and make the cars even better than what they are already now.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I suppose, Harry, just you've worked on a hybrid 911 before, so who knows what's excellent. Thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you, man.
Cheers. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that. We'll try and do a few more of those sorts of interviews over the course of the year. Please obviously subscribe to the channel, where you will find, hopefully, if not right now, then in the coming weeks, that onboard lap with Jörg Burmeister around a very wet Estoril. It was great fun being in the passenger seat, and he's really spectacular to watch, actually, from an onboard perspective, because he really hustles the car. So yes, that's well worth checking out. And of course, please do remember to subscribe to not only YouTube but Twitter and Instagram. We're at Carfection on Twitter and at Carfection Films on Instagram, and I am at Henry Catchpole on both. Jörg Burmeister is j.burgmeister on Instagram, so why not give him a follow as well. Thank you very much for listening.